Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score.
All right, we've got White Sox baseball tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. Can Carlos Rodon finally get the Southsiders back in the win column? They look to end their seven-game slide in KC. Jason Minetti and Steve Stone have the call at 7 p.m. Jose Quintana is now an expensive foreign luxury automobile. This joke will never get old. He shuts down the Brewers again as the Cubs get a win and some cushion they desperately need. If the Cubs meet the Brewers in the NLDS, who do you start in game one? We'll discuss. That's a marinating man headed to Mitchell right now. And it's on to Seattle for Matt Nagy's Bears. But will Mitch Trubisky have more success than he did at Lambeau? And is it too early to be concerned about his debut in this new offense? We got that and more on Sports Talk Live. Let's do it. Hello, welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm Chuck Arfine, in for David Kaplan, who is looking to embrace the Porsche that is Jose Quintana at Wrigley Field right now. Is there a camera there? Do we have a live shot of that, Coop? No?
No.
We do not have that. Okay. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From the morning show on B96 and Bears Unleashed on Fox 32, that is Gabe Ramirez. ESPN's Nick Friedel. And from ESPN 1000, that is Chris Bleck. We begin with Kaplan's Cubs, who got a big win last night against the Brewers. They lead Milwaukee by two games with the series finale tonight at Wrigley. Jose Quintana did not give up a run in 6 2/3. So Wilson Contreras says Q is a Ferrari. Nick, he pitched like one last night. What kind of model Ferrari is he? Or is he a step below the Ferrari? Is he above a Buick? Is he an Escalade?
Ouch. Give us a car, Ouch. Nick. Come on. Yeah.
What is he? What kind of car is Jose Quintana right now?
We're going with Lamborghini at the moment. I mean, I just love that Contreras is on the car comparisons like Catman, and now Catman has to walk into the clubhouse and be like, hey, guys, how's it going? So, hey, this is why you brought him here. He's looked great against the Brewers all year. But you need him to pitch well in September. And as a Cubs fan, I know I can speak for millions of us out there going, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, Nick, you got to feel good because if this is your four heading down the stretch run into the playoffs, I mean, it's hard to see this team not being the winner of the division and getting into the playoffs if this is how Quintana is going to pitch from here on out.
Yeah, I think, you know, Quintana, obviously, you want him on the mound. That's why you went and grabbed him from the White Sox, my team. Nick, I see you shouting at your Cubs, right? But, you know, he's a horse. You know, you can give him the ball. You know, he can perform. You know, he keeps his ERA low or where you would want it to be. And, you know, with the offense that the Cubs have, I mean, are you really that concerned about just starting pitching going into the playoffs?
Let's ask a Cub fan.
Yeah. I know it's looked better lately, and I know that Lester and Hendricks and certainly Hamels from years gone by are proven. Quintana, if he keeps up like this, you've got to feel all right. But it's been so kind of up and down all year that you just worry as a fan if you sit there and go, oh, no, they're really high right now. What's going to happen in a few weeks? But you've got to like the way it looks at the moment because if it keeps rolling like this, maybe this will compensate for how bad the offense has been at certain times.
I'm distracted by our Ink and Law Sports Talk Live poll that is right now on our screen. If the Cubs Brewers are in the NLDS, who should start game one? Lester's getting 4%.
Ouch.
Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. I think we just put this up, or maybe that's really what you believe. Let me think about this. So Quintana has done great against the Brewers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want him starting game one. Hamels has been lights out since they traded for him. There's Hendricks, who's got the playoff experience. What do you guys think?
I would say, you know, I was thinking about this early, and I thought to myself, you know, yes, Quintana 3-0 against the Brewers. Understand that. But for me, Kyle Hendricks. He's 8-4 against the Brew Crew in 18 starts, has an ERA under 3. And you know what? It's about confidence going into the playoffs. Right, you start a guy like Hendricks game one, you give him that confidence for the rest of the playoffs. You start a guy like Quintana, you're going to get the same result in game one as you do in game three. He's going to be ready to go no matter what.
Also consider this. Joe Maddon has started Hendricks at home in playoff series just to keep him at Wrigley Field because he's had more success in the past. I personally would go with Hamels, then Lester, then Hendricks. I wouldn't worry about the Wrigley home or road deal, but that's the way I would go with
straight to Hamels,
huh? So Quintana, who's
game four. I'm not starting a series with Jose Quintana.
Okay.
Definitely not.
All right. Let us know what you think. We'll keep you updated here throughout the show. If you could magically fix one thing on this Cubs team right now.
You Darvish's elbow.
Yeah.
that would be my one thing.
Apparently a doctor was trying to do that.
Exactly.
I got the word of it here. I've never even heard of this. An arthroscopic debridement? What's that? I've been a sportscaster for 20 years. I've never said debridement on the air. What's that? Cleaning it up?
That sounds like a knee injury you fix in the NBA, not a pitcher's elbow. But that would be my one thing.
All right, so he's going to be 100% for spring training. That's what they're saying. So
we'll see.
Well, Nate, okay.
You look worn out by the
year. I know. Right? Yeah.
Well, because
you need a nap.
We sat there a few weeks ago, and we were sitting here, and I'm going, I don't think they can win. They, the Cubs, can go a month and go all the way through the World Series and win it without Darvish or the person who was supposed to be Darvish. And now we're looking at the poll question, and we're seeing the results they've had, and I'm trying to believe to myself that this team with Quintana and Hamels and Hendricks and Lester all healthy can get there. I'm trying to get over that hump.
You have Darvish. His name, though, is Cole Hamels.
Yeah, right.
Right. Right. Well, but this is the issue, and this is an issue I've had all along. Can Hamels pitch in the postseason the way he has for the last 6 weeks or so?
Well, that could be everybody.
And if he can, but you paid Darvish like you were going to pay Arrieta or like you were going to pay somebody to be your horse in October, not throughout the regular season. That was all well and good. You paid that person, whoever it was, to be the guy, and now he's not even on the mound. And that, as a fan, that is what scares the hell out of me about this potential postseason.
It surprises me that you say that, because if you look at this team overall, I would expect something like a left-handed arm out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Back end of the bullpen is probably going to be the concern as you head down the stretch here. The starting pitching has been great as of late. To me, there isn't a concern with your first four and heading towards the playoffs, and if you get into a playoff series. If you can magically fix something, wouldn't it be a shutdown guy at the end of the game?
Because, you're here in the regular season, but we tend to forget. Once the postseason starts,
it's the eighth inning.
Yeah. Here comes not – Aroldis Chapman.
Right.
Well, here comes someone I don't know if he's going to do the job. Well, Justin will – there's a big question mark.
You trust Justin Wilson.
And it's so mental. Those playoff games are so mental. And if your catcher doesn't know what he's going to get, and your whole teammates can feel it. The fans can feel it.
Yeah, and when you talk about the back end of the bullpen, like you were saying, Chris, it's like, you think to yourself, Pedro, like those two words, I don't know, when I hear them, it doesn't get me excited. excited. And I'm not even a Cubs fan, but I hear that, and I've seen it over the years, right?
Morrow so could like, be ready by
then. Well, that's what they're saying. That's what they're saying, right?
Yeah.
But going back to Hamels, I mean, to your point, it's like, he's coming in, he's been lights out, and he's probably been better than what you would have expected from Darvish, right? So, like you said, can he do it in the playoffs? That's something to think about, but, I mean, you hope that as a Cub fan for sure.
I see Lester has gotten some more votes. So, right now, it is Quintana. Most of you believe Quintana should be the game one starter. Watch, he'll give up four runs, maybe five in his next start, and he'll be back being a Buick without gas.
Right.
But, anyway.
We'll be pushing him to the gas station.
I'm such a big fan of Jose Quintana. I'm sorry. I'm a little biased.
You and Cap.
By the way, Cap said the Buick line like right here. I think it might have been on our White Sox podcast. He said it for the first time, or maybe he said it on the air. He says it a lot. Give Theo Epstein credit, because obviously the Darvish thing has, not gone the way he expected. But at least, I mean, where would this team be right now if he had not traded for Murphy and Hamels?
Can you guys ever recall of a front office that had such a bad offseason but completely fixed it during the regular season?
That's not easy to do.
And in what sport can you actually do that? In football, you can't necessarily change your team for the better in season.
Mm-hmm.
Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, they did a great job to go on and get Murphy, to get Cole Hamels. This team is ready to go, even though they misfired in the offseason.
But as a Cubs fan, were you really concerned going into the season despite the fact that they hadn't made any moves? You knew they were going to do it in the middle
face.
Of the season.
Look at this face. He's totally concerned.
Years of Cubs fandom has led me to the point where I worry about everything.
No matter what.
But, Gabe, this is the key, and this is why anybody who watches Theo and Jed Hoyer and everything they've done, and this goes back to Chris's point, when you watch what they've done, they've earned the trust of the city and the fan base.
Yes.
And when you compare them certainly to all the other teams in the city, the Blackhawks had a hell of a run for a while, but I don't know what the hell is going on there.
Yeah.
When you watch what's happening now with the Cubs, you expect Theo to make the right move, even if the first move, like Darvish instead of Arrieta or anybody else, didn't work out the way it was supposed to.
All right, tomorrow the Cubs will be going to Washington, D.C. That's the plan right now. There's the hurricane could be affected, but they got to play this game. They got to try to get it in. What do you think about the decision that MLB is making right now? All systems go at this point for them to go there, and they're going to have like 30 days straight of going in with a park, not always playing, but without a day off.
Yeah, I think the one thing everyone points to is like, what if they lose, right? All these games straight, we lose, we come back. What if we lose on Friday, back-to-back? What if they win? If they win these two games, now you're rolling, right? Yeah. So I think, listen, it's how the schedule is. You got to play the game. You got to make it up, right? So if they can actually get it in without rain tomorrow in D.C., then, listen, it's just the cards that were dealt to you. You got to make the best of it, right?
But let's be honest. It's brutal. It's brutal
yeah,
to finish
brutal.
The game today.
It's tough.
To fly to the East Coast, finish that one, come back over here
hope
to Chicago.
Hope they get that one in.
Hope they get that one in, yeah. Right? Who knows then? And then there's flights. Listen, I missed a bunch of flights in my day. So, you know, they're running
they're
the tight
not
ship right
like
there.
You're not flying like a Major League Baseball.
I'm talking about weather. Weather.
It's
just
a little
weather.
Different. They're not taking Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, yeah.
My Joe Webb's got a B ticket in the back. And Jose Contreras gets C. He's a center seat. By the way, there was talk that they might push Friday. Friday's game back. They should just push it back.
Yeah, yeah that what's the hold up? Push it
game.
Back. Let's
yeah,
go.
Yeah, that's definitely a no-brainer to me. Coop, we got time for one more Cubs thing, or we're moving on? We're moving on. It's been only one game, but what was that on Sunday? Ouch. The QB play in the second half, the play calling, the collapse against the Packers. Will the Bears learn from this? Could this be the turning point or the start of just absolute disaster?
Are you an authentic Cubs fan? We want to hear from you. Every authentic fan night, we designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
We are back after that crushing loss to the Packers in week one. I got one question for you guys. Who are the Bears? Who is this team? Are they the team that looked great in the first half, or are they the team that just collapsed in the second half? Who wants this?
I think they're both.
Yeah?
You know, I mean, I think the Bears are an improved team. I think we can all agree on that. But they're still a team that's learning and growing with a new a quarterback that still, look, when Trubisky came in the league, we all said it, right? Hey, he's only had 1 year in North Carolina, right? We were worried about his experience. He only played half a season last year. This is his first game of this season, so.
Yeah, they should definitely not play him in the preseason then. That's the answer.
That last
I mean, he's had 25 starts since high school.
2,000 snaps since.
They're not going to
We don't need the preseason. We'll be fine for one half against the Packers. We're good.
2,000 snaps, 10,000 hours, Malcolm Gladwell, right?
Somewhere,
like,
right?
It's neither, right? They're not as bad as they looked in the second half. They're not as good as they were in the first half. But the problem is, what I saw on Sunday night was that this is a team that's going to have to win with the defense. The offense isn't going to be there to win games late. And what I mean by that is, like, sure, they could probably put up points. They could probably give you a 30-point game here and there. The key is, under 4 minutes, is Trubisky ready to go down the field and get the team in scoring position and to execute? Because they were there in the fourth quarter on Sunday. He couldn't execute, and that's the problem, right?
The answer is no.
Well,
sadly, right now, the answer to that question is no, and it speaks to the growth that everybody's hopeful for within the city. But, guys, I watched that game the other night, and I'm going, man, Khalil Mack's awesome. We knew that. And this defense is going to have to carry him. But Trubisky in the second half when the script was off and you had to make adjustments, oh, man.
And I saw two things going on there. The Packers made adjustments offensively and defensively. Mm-hmm. And what they decided to do was, okay, well, if because they were – the defense was amazing for the Bears. Quick slants for Rodgers.
Yep.
I mean, clearly the injury was like the best thing to happen because they had to change their game plan. And that actually helped them and hurt the Bears.
Yeah, it tied Rodgers into the pocket. And like you said, the quick slants, they obviously up-tempo hurts them as well. And it's not like this is a one-time thing. We're going to see many other teams try this. Don't question that the fact that Russell Wilson will probably come out and they will probably go no huddle and try and run the Bears early and often on Monday night.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult for the Bears, obviously, to adjust to that. But, I mean, I look at Matt Nagy, too, and I look at the second half and I say, hey, brand new coach. you know, he's going to make those adjustments throughout the season. I mean, maybe that's just the homer in me that, you know, wants to say, hey, Nagy's going to figure it out. Trubisky's going to figure it out, you know, and I mean, you really do hope that both of them together can fix that up by the end of the season.
All right, glass half full or glass half empty? What do you want first?
Let's go full. I mean, this is cap show, right? Right?
Yeah, so yeah, let's right, let's glass, I'll be glass half right? empty first. Okay, here's glass fine. Half empty. Nagy's last non-preseason game before this was the playoff game when he was the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, and they blew a 21-3 lead in the third quarter to the Titans. Yeah. All right, so that's not good.
No.
Glass half full, just one game. He'll learn. He won't do this again. And Mitchell Trubisky will utilize his talents. I'm just throwing BS. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's what usually happens in that chair.
In that chair right there?
Okay, oh,
that's what
wow.
usually comes out.
I listen, from a media standpoint, I love Matt Nagy because he's actually a little transparent. He's telling me what he's thinking. I feel like he's got some passion. I love that about him. But he's got to win some football games.
Well, listen, if the players would have executed the plays that he called, I think we'd have a different outcome, too. Yeah. I mean, and
if
I think that's...
If Kyle Fuller makes that catch, we're not having this conversation.
Everything's different. Right, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, now Nagy's a genius. Trubisky looks awesome in his first game. Oh, okay.
Well, then, and easy on the Trubisky. He looked great in the first quarter, like Nick said, when everything was scripted for him, everything looked great. And I think that's where we have to kind of watch this grow, because if he's a quarterback who can't actually go off script, then we might be in trouble. And especially if you're trying to beat teams you can beat, Seattle, Arizona coming up. Yeah. These are games that you have to win. If you're that Bears fan who says, oh, 6.5, 7 wins, they can go over. You got to do this month before you get into harder competition.
Sure. Right, so you produce the Carmen Yurko show.
Yeah.
And I was driving a couple days ago. It was Monday. Yeah. I almost drove off the road when Carmen DeFalco had a stat that was that Mitchell Trubisky has never thrown for more than one touchdown in a game. Now, granted, he's only played, you know, season and a little in change, but that was not very promising. And Sam Darnold, like you said, threw with 3 touchdowns.
On Monday night. So, and Chuck, the thing to kind of point out is Carmen also went through every quarterback, you know, around Trubisky's age, right? All the younger quarterbacks in the league, they all have. And I think that's the key is if you're a Trubisky truther out there and you are diehard, this guy's going to turn out and he's going to be a great quarterback. The one thing to consider is, like, when has he ever showed us any of this? I get it. He was a great prospect, and Todd McShay and Mel Kiper broke it down, and they showed us all the stuff. But when have we actually seen it for ourselves? I haven't. I didn't see it last year. I didn't see it in the first game.
Maybe Monday night.
Hopefully. But, you know, the thing is, how long do we have to wait until we see that breakout performance? Pat Mahomes, right? Yeah. He was unbelievable on Sunday.
Now, to Trubisky's defense, he didn't have the greatest receivers last year. That has something to do with it. They should be better this year.
Right.
Yeah.
You mentioned Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold started off the season in the worst way possible, right? He threw a pick 6 with his first play. What did he turn around and do? He took his team down the field and scored, and he did it time and time again. And you watch his receivers. They're making plays for him. He's getting everyone going. I just haven't seen that from Trubisky. It makes me worried as a Bears fan who knows that they moved so much to go get Trubisky, and we all thought, finally, we're going to have our franchise quarterback. It worries me that what if this doesn't work out?
It doesn't worry me at all.
Doesn't worry
I'm
at all.
The, oh, I'm the guy on the panel.
Right.
I'm drinking Trubisky whiskey. That's what I call it. I'm drinking the Trubisky whiskey.
Listen, man, he needs it. He needs to sign that up.
Again, like I said, I'm the homer.
Whiskey.
I'm drinking it. We should have some on this panel right here. Probably. But, you know, the thing is this, right? We've seen bad Bears quarterback play forever, right? And when I see Mitch Trubisky drop back, yes, he hasn't put together a full game, but when I see him drop back and make a good throw, when I see him throw the football on a rope, to me, those are things that I look at and I say, okay, he can pile that together and put together a good game by the end of the season. That's what I'm hoping for, at least. And a shot of Trubisky whiskey.
Let's talk about Khalil Mack. So he was amazing in the first half. Second half, you didn't hear much from him. Do you think it was more stamina wasn't there, didn't have the lung capacity for that because he didn't play in the preseason, or did they just kind of keep him out of the game? The Packers did.
Yeah, and Chuck, you also mentioned the quick slants that the Packers are running as well. That negates some pass rush as well. I mean, I don't think any defensive player could ever start a game the way he did. He was on fire coming out, right? Like, he was moving guys out of his way. He was getting to the quarterback. It was fantastic.
So was Hicks.
Yeah,
we lost Hicks too. I think it might have been just the quick slant has ended their push towards Rodgers.
Plus, obviously, if he was there for all of camp, you would expect he'd probably be able to do that onto the third and fourth quarter as well.
More Roquan Smith, you think, on Monday night?
You got to give him more opportunities, yeah. Right? I mean, obviously, the first thing anybody's going to say is one play, one sack. That looked amazing. Thanks to Khalil Mack, by the way. But, yeah, you know, that's why you drafted the guy. You want him to go out there. You want to see that linebacking core out there together at the same time. You want to see them for, you know, 50, 60 plays and see what kind of havoc they can create. And you know, when you're doing that double blitz with Mack on the end, Roquan up the middle, I mean, you're going to cause some problems for some offenses in the NFL for sure.
I'm a little surprised, you know, considering the season that the Bears had, they got two nationally televised games right out of the gate. I know it's Chicago, but they're – bright lights, big city. Right?
They must have been drinking the Trubisky whiskey, too.
Well, yeah, you know, young quarterback, new head coach, big city. Like, yeah. This is the time to make your mark on the league, right?
Let's get them on now in case they stink later in the year. That's what that was.
Well,
that's
up
exactly
next.
What that was.
We got the Michael Kopech injury news. Might have hit the White Sox the hardest. Can they end their 7-game slide tonight? We'll get into that coming up next. Tonight?
Mm-mm.
No.
I am on a 6 a.m. 6 a.m. like it Flight? Takes off to Syracuse in the morning.
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/Baseball Night in Chicago.
Don't forget, we've got baseball at the top of the hour. The White Sox looking to end their 7-game slide against the Royals. Jason Minetti and Steve Stone have the call at 7. Belton Bill Melton will join me on the postgame show after it is done. And it stinks. This was actually going to be a Michael Kopech game here tonight. But as you know, he suffered that Tommy John. He's going to need Tommy John surgery. He'll be out all of next season. The Sox haven't won since then. It almost seems like the Sox, with that news, I mean, they haven't won. It's almost like, oh,
yeah.
What a blow to them.
They were hot, you know, leading up to that point, and I think they just had a little bit of confidence going into that. You know, you had the young guys playing well, seeing some of the players finally come up, have a little bit of gel, and then you said to yourself, okay, is Eloy going to come up maybe in September? And people started feeling good, but then when that Kopech injury happened, you know, then it was like, ah, all right, we're back to this. The season's over. We're 31 games out or whatever it is. And, you know, then I think just that confidence level just kind of left and that desire and that passion left as well. And with the Kopech injury, you know, I've been following him forever on social media, right? This dude is so jacked, like so jacked. So when you see him throw and then you hear about the injury, you're just like, I wonder if, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. But sad nonetheless, man. Such a good guy, good heart, good family. And, yeah. Disappointing that they're not playing as well right now.
Yeah, I would love to see Eloy Jimenez. You have to wait till probably April.
Yeah,
April 10th.
Yeah, I was going to say a couple weeks in.
Who's counting, right?
When did Chris
Bryant
get brought up? I think that'll be basically the same time that Eloy Jimenez is brought up. But we'll see what happens. Sox and Royals coming up. But also next, you got Baseball Night in Chicago. Leila Brahimi, Brian Anderson, Doug Glanville coming your way. Thanks for watching Sports Talk Live presented by the Chevy Silverado. I think the Catman has hugged it out with Quintana. Do we have video of that?
Summer Days is back, baby.
No, it didn't happen.
Yeah.